If you closed your Bibles, would you open them back up to Luke chapter 4? I want us to get a sense of where we are in Luke's gospel. Because the first three chapters are important for understanding chapter 4. So far in Luke, we have met many new characters. There's Zechariah the priest and his wife Elizabeth. And of course, their son John, John the Baptist. And we meet Elizabeth's relative Mary and her soon-to-be husband Joseph. And of course, Mary's son Jesus. And we hear about Caesar Augustus, Governor Quirinius, and these shepherds near Bethlehem. It's a new story, new characters. But Luke does something surprising at the end of chapter 3. He pushes pause on this interesting story that's unfolding, and he hits the rewind button. He begins to turn back the clock, and he lists these names down through the generations. Do you see that at the end of chapter 3? Starting in verse 23 with Jesus. And Luke just lists this long, boring list of names. What's up with that? Why is he doing that? I think Luke is hanging a background, something behind the story that will help us understand what's happening and why it's happening. This list of names is a backdrop for the story. Because Luke wants us to know that this new story about Jesus, it's not just a new story, but it's part of an old, old story. And that's why Luke lists these names through the generations. Now, in verse 23, we see Jesus, and Luke goes back. He goes back to King David in verse 32. He keeps going back further to Abraham in verse 34. He keeps going back further to Noah in verse 36. And all the way back to Adam in verse 38. You can't go back any further than that in human history. But this story is even older than the story of Israel and the story of humankind. It's as old as the Holy Spirit. Do you see in chapter 4, the story we heard, there are three characters. Who are they in the story we heard? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the devil. So Jesus is the new character in this story. But the devil's been around for a long time, and the Holy Spirit's been around for even longer than that. So Luke is telling us this story is part of an old, old story. So let's start with Israel. How is the story of Israel in the background here? Last week, Pastor Albert preached on Jesus' baptism, and as we think of that story of Jesus coming out of the Jordan River, what story is in the background? The Exodus story. Israel coming through the waters of the Red Sea into freedom. So that story is in the background in chapter 4. Now the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. What story's in the background there? The Lord leading Israel into the wilderness with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Jesus is in the desert for 40 days. What's in the background? Israel's 40 years in the desert. Right. Jesus fasts for those 40 days. And Jesus goes up to a high place. What's in the background? when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. Did you notice which scripture Jesus quotes from in chapter 4? From the same book, all three times. Deuteronomy. Jesus is quoting the law that God gave at Mount Sinai. Do you see what story's in the background? It's the story of Israel in the wilderness. It's the story of Moses in Mount Sinai. So what is Luke doing? What does Luke want us to understand? Luke wants us to understand that Jesus is going through what Israel went through. Jesus is reliving Israel's story in himself. Jesus is the new Moses, the new Israel. This new story about Jesus is not just a new story, it's part of an old, old story. But it's older than that. Did you see at the end of chapter 3, we heard that Adam is listed. Adam was the son of God. Jesus is the son of Adam and the son of God. Jesus goes through what Adam and Eve went through in the Garden of Eden. You remember that story of temptation. That story is also in the background. But Jesus is also from God. And that will change everything. So this is part of an old, old story, but it's also a new story in Jesus. And we should see ourselves in both the old stories and in the new stories. We're all daughters and sons of Adam and Eve. We know what it's like to hear the devil's lies whispered in our ears, to believe those lies, to believe that maybe God doesn't know what's best for us. And we've also been joined to Israel's story. We all know what it's like to be in the desert place, to feel alone, to feel dried up, to look back at Egypt and wish we could return. We've all made idols out of things that can't save us. But we're also part of this new story with Jesus. We've also come up out of the water with Jesus. And the words from heaven have been spoken over our lives. You are my beloved child. We're part of those old stories of failure, but we're also part of this new story of Jesus' victory. And in all these stories, there's a contest happening, a contest between the devil and the Spirit of God, a contest between lies and truth. In John's gospel, Jesus said this about the devil: there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his natural language. He's a liar. He is the father of lies. You see, lies are the devil's only hope. The devil has no power in himself. The devil can only twist what is good and true. The devil can only distort what God has given. And that's what the devil does in the Garden of Eden. Eve, did God really say that? Are you sure? The devil sows doubt. He sows lies. And the devil wants our lives to be guided by lies. He wants us to believe that you don't belong here, that you have nothing to offer, that you will never be good enough, that you will fail again and again, that you're a fake, and that everyone is going to find out, that God will not provide for you when you need it most. There's no purpose to your life. The devil wants those lies to guide us each day in how we live. And the biggest lie the devil wants us to believe is that we are not children of God. And the devil will not stop lying to us. We hear these lies in our head, in the world around us, each day. And I think this is especially true when God is at work in our lives. Jesus has come out of the water, and a voice from heaven has said, "You are my son, and I love you." The next thing, the devil shows up. Because the devil wants to steal away God's love. The devil wants Jesus to think he has to earn something that's already been given. The devil wants us to try to earn something that's already been given by God's grace. Did God really say you're his child? Maybe you should prove it. The devil is a damn good liar. And he was successful with Adam and Eve. His lies worked. And their story is our story. His lies worked with Israel again and again. They kept turning away from the God who loved them. But his lies did not work with Jesus. And Jesus' story is also our story. This story is about Jesus being tempted in the desert. But I think the devil's also being tempted. I think God is tempting the devil. I think this is a trap for the devil. The devil thought he could get away with it again. But the father of lies has come to face the truth of God in a human person. And there's no contest there. In the end, it's not Jesus who's defeated by the devil's temptations. It's the devil who's defeated by God's temptation. See, Satan thought that his lies could overcome the truth, but Satan was wrong. Satan thought darkness could overcome God's light, but Satan was wrong. Satan thought death could overcome God's life, but Satan was wrong. Friends, I'm here to tell us today that Satan has no power over our lives anymore. Satan has no power here because Jesus' story has become our story, because his baptism is our baptism, and his victory over the devil and sin and death is also our victory. It's true that we've believed the lies, and we might believe them again. It's true that we've failed in the desert. We've fallen into temptation. And it's true that when we're in that desert place, it's so hard. It's so hard to believe. It's so hard to trust that God will provide. It's so hard to hear. It's so hard to remember those words that were just spoken. I love you. You're my child. It's so hard to remember. And that's why we come here again. We gather around the Word. We remember our baptism. When Jesus is tempted by Satan's lies, how does Jesus respond? With the Word, with the truth of God. Jesus goes back to the Word, back to those waters that he just left, to know who he truly is. Friends, our names have been added to that list, that long, boring list. Our names have been added to that list in the background. We're part of this story. Jesus has brought us in. and made us his own. So the lies that tempt us each day will not overcome us in the end. They will not overcome us because Jesus is with us, speaking his truth. And the darkness that rises up will not overcome us in the end because the light of the world is with us. The light of the world is with us. And even the death that waits for us, it will not overcome us in the end because Jesus has swallowed up death in victory. And his victory is our victory. Friends, this is good news for us today. Amen. Amen. May we know the truth, and may the truth set us free today and tomorrow and forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.